B-Pod Studios.
They work.
Arr, matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now all the pressure's on him, all the defense, all the scout report is just all about Kyrie. You know, and it's tough for a small guard to lead a team to a championship. So if you can put him in the system to where maybe you have that other player who can be that
one
scorer, I think he's a 1B
on
a championship team because he's already shown that.
Right.
So maybe if one of these other Celtics can emerge as a 1A, a la Jason Tatum.
So Kyrie's not good enough to be the best player on a championship team is basically what you're saying.
But my belief always, Chauncey, you know this. I don't believe you're a point guard unless you're an all-time point guard, a la Magic, a la Isaiah.
You're looking at me saying this.
Steph Curry.
You're looking at me saying this.
Rare case.
2004.
Rare case. You and Tony Parker. Outside of that, Magic, Isaiah, Steph Curry, all-time guards. I don't think need to be your best, can be your best player to win a championship.
Paul Pierce yesterday on ABC, prior to the game, he doesn't think the Celtics can win a championship with Kyrie as their best player.
Ouch!
He may have said that before in another place or on that very pregame show, but I hadn't heard him say that yet. Paul Pierce says he could be a 1B. He's not a 1A. He can't be the best player and you win.
Well, I mean, it was some good tension on the set and listening to that, which was good.
I can tell you, if you were watching it, I know that it sounds when you listen to it like Chauncey Billups is sort of...
Looking at me!
Sort of just, you know, playing along and giving him crap. I think Chauncey Billups was legitimately offended by what he was saying.
Yeah, like, hey, look at me.
Like, hello. And
I'm
Pierce,
right here.
Pierce at one point did say to him, yes, you're right.
I was a freak here. Yes.
But he told him, he goes, but what, you know, he I think he called him the exception or said it was rare.
Rare.
It was rare.
Yeah.
Well, and Billups wasn't the top player in that team or the alpha dog of that team.
Yeah, if you I look mean, at that team, though, he might be the one.
That's the
Hall of Famer.
They were spread around pretty evenly. I mean, I'm going back in time, Beetle, on this, and Paul Pierce is right. A point guard like Magic, he's 6'9", doesn't really count in the conversation.
Right.
Isaiah Thomas is as close as you can come to this. Curry, if you want to go there. But boy, what a cast he is around him. Go back to Bob Cousy, the original point guard. Never won until Bill Russell got here. They never won a championship. Russell comes in, they win a lot of championships. So I think it's a legitimate point. I think he's right. And it's not what everybody wants to hear, I suppose. But I thought that was really good. And, you know, they got their money's worth out of having a celebrity star player in the studio on that day.
Yeah, they most certainly did. And I thought another interesting part, and I thought this was sort of disappointing because they were framing the question for Paul Pierce and for Billups on the set and Jalen Rose as well. And Michelle Beadle, who I believe was doing the hosting there. They framed it whereas, hey, Paul, when you get to this offseason, do you want it to be Kyrie or do you want the Celtics to get Anthony Davis? And they framed it as an either or. And I'm thinking, well, that's not right. You frame that as,
right.
You know, you get Anthony Davis and you keep Kyrie and you put the two together. And without hesitation, he said, oh, no, you go and get Anthony Davis. He kept by Kyrie. He was like, no, you got to get Anthony Davis. That's a top five player in the league. That's a guy you can actually win with.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow. So Pierce didn't seem to have a lot of love for Kyrie on the broadcast before the game yesterday. Doesn't seem like he cares too much for Kyrie.
Which makes you wonder who he's talking to.
That's what I was going to say,
absolutely.
Too.
Absolutely.
He's sitting with Wick. You know, Danny's down there sitting with him, too, pregame.
You know that he's still tied in.
Of course
You know
is.
That he's still tied into what's happening here.
He probably talks to the most important people, the people that are the ancillary people that actually hear everything. Trainers, doctors.
Yeah, friends. There's something else that happened on that pregame show.
Locker room attendance.
We can get to as well. But,
locker room attendance.
Another quote from over the weekend that is getting some attention is one that came from one of the owners of the team. Wick spoke at the Sloan Analytics Conference, which was happening this weekend. What do you call that? You got a nickname for that, Dan, or anything?
The Geek Fest of all time, that thing. I mean, God, it's like I always ask some of my friends to bring a copy of the program because the seminars, like they'll do like 4 hours on ball screens and just these things that are just...
The names of the seminars alone will put you into a coma.
They'd make your head explode. It's tremendous. And I've always wondered, I think there's like some, you have to agree not to give the information out if you go to these things. They get high-level
secrets
in there.
Some of them are
What's
confidential.
A ball screen?
We had a people who did a piece on Adam Silver saying stuff about the NBA players all being depressed. And a lot of the star players, like depression is a factor with these young stars.
That's why they smoke weed.
It was in the Globe, I think, Saturday or Sunday. I'm thinking, wow, this is like, were we supposed to print this? Because I thought it was really good.
So speaking on Saturday at the Sloan Sports Analytics Conference, Celtics co-owner Wick Grosbeck aptly summed up his inconsistent squad, as I read from NBCSportsBoston.com, during a panel discussion with ESPN reporter Jackie McMullen and LA Lakers president Jeannie Buss. Quote, I think the players that we have on the court have the capability of getting to the NBA Finals. This from the Boston Globe's Nicole Yang, who actually reported the quotes.
Yes.
Quote, we also have the capability of losing in the first round.
That's not what we want to hear.
That's what the owner of the Celtics is saying.
Yeah. Tells you he doesn't know what he has.
And I'll read it one more time. I think the players we have on the court have the capability of getting to the NBA Finals. We also have the capability of losing in the first round.
And this makes you wonder what the owner thinks of his coach and his GM at this point, too.
And his players.
I think it's more than the players.
We know what he thinks.
I think he thinks more than the players because, in essence, it's the same team with freaking Kyrie.
The thing that makes this season so maddening for us as just fans on the outside, just viewers, observers of it, is that they're underachieving.
Yeah.
That the talent on this roster is much better than this, and they are underachieving. And there is... there's probably nothing worse in sports than the underachievers.
And it's the opposite of the Stevens MO since he got here. You know, every year they were overachievers. They had a little train that could. They did more with what they had than anybody else. They didn't have NBA problems. And it's the exact opposite of the blueprint this
year. Like you go through halfway or almost to the end of that second quarter, and they threw that stat up yesterday with Smart, Jason Tatum, and I think Horford. Like none of them had points. Talking about secondary, third, and fourth scoring. And you go back to last year where Jason Tatum commanded the ball and wanted the ball in certain situations. Like, he wasn't even part of the offense yesterday in the first half. Like, what the hell's going on? That's what you got trained to watch last year. These kids stepping up and elevating. You mentioned Rozier earlier. He had a great playoff run.
I just want to say this about that quote. That's a great quote. It's so honest. This is the absolute truth. Yeah, we get the ability to go to the finals, and I'm fearful of them bowing out in the first round. That's me summarizing it. It just feels truthful.
That's why I wonder if he knew he was being quoted.
No BS there. That's a real quote.
Yeah.
You never hear any owners talk like that.
No, it's from the heart. It's how we're thinking.
That's from the heart.
It's like if you just got them off to the side, just you two talking.
And I think that's how the rest of us feel, too. Man, they got a lot of talent. They could go deep if they really put it together. They could also get bounced right away, the way they've played at times, like they're playing right now. So that's the latest. That's how it's viewed from the top on down in the Celtics right now. The ability to get all the way, go all the way to the finals, or, you know, an early exit. Jim is in Woburn. Hey, Jim.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Hey.
I was just wondering on the Kyrie situation. Is it possible to do a sign and trade still with him? I know he's a free agent, but can't he sign with the Celtics, his own team, for a higher value than he would be on the free agent market?
Kyrie, yes.
Would it be advantageous for them if he wants to go to the Knicks so bad? They have a nice little young point guard, Eddie Smith Jr., obviously they wouldn't need the both of them. Would that be something that could be in the future for the Celtics?
Yeah, there could be a sign and trade element to that. Sure, could be the case. That doesn't get me excited though.
No,
it doesn't excite me even a little bit to entertain that possibility. Ross in New Hampshire. Hi, Ross.
Hey guys, how are you?
Hi, Ross.
Question for Dan: do you think Kyrie can make a similar turnaround with the media that we saw with David Price last October? You come up clutch in the postseason, you get your team some wins, and you kind of quiet the critics.
Yeah, I mean, all you got to do is win around any town, this town, yes. And David Price, he went out and he pitched well in the postseason, and he's a hero. I mean, you could be Manny Ramirez knocking people over. You can do anything. If you win, people love you here, and that's gonna be the case. So, yes, absolutely. They can flip the switch. It's not trending in the way you feel that that's going to happen, but if it did, absolutely. It would be like, oh, remember those rocky days back in February and March?
Right.
No.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Okay, Ross. Appreciate the call. More with Dan Shaughnessy coming up after we get a check on the action update. We'll hear from the guys in the desert and, all the latest on the odds. Here we go.
Now a look at the numbers with the action update on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
This is Brent Musburger's Action Update for 98.5 The Sports Hub. Are you hiring? With Indeed, you can post a job in minutes, set up screener questions, then zero in on candidates in an online dashboard at Indeed.com/hire. Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
Number two, Virginia, has won six in a row, covering in five of them. And it has won five straight road games, beating the spread in four. Tonight, the Cavaliers visit Syracuse. UVA is favored by 7. College basketball presents championship weeks. Conference tournaments open tonight with the Atlantic Sun on campus floors. Regular season co-champions Lipscomb and Liberty are home. Top seed Lipscomb is a 25.5-point favorite against Kennesaw State. Liberty, 14, hosting Jacksonville. For the latest odds all the time, visit vsin.com. From Las Vegas, I'm Ron Platter. This has been your Action Update on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Here's the kind of issue that he's had in Boston. He came to a turnkey situation, had the most rings. People perceived the best GM, the best coach, the best young talent, and also the best assets for the draft. And he seems miserable there.
Right.
And so when they're a fifth seed, I feel like this is going to be his final season playing with that squad, regardless of what the Celtics want to do.
New pastures.
Jalen Rose believes that Kyrie Irving is miserable in Boston. That's from him yesterday, pregame. Again, former player, connected guy.
Yeah, there's a lot there.
Says things seem miserable for him in Boston. Again, goes to what you're saying, Dan. Things are trending in the wrong direction. Trending in the wrong way.
Yeah, I thought that was a lot for those TV guys yesterday. That, the Pierce thing, it was a lot.
Oh, they were firing off left and right.
Yeah.
And all kinds of takes. And that, right?
Halftime was good, too. I don't know if you caught halftime.
I did not talking catch halftime.
How just... You see the good offense and the bad offense and how their offense just
oh, you know what?
Bad.
I
really
did catch.
Bad.
The thing that I remember from that was Pierce said they have a lot of empty possessions.
Yes.
Empty possessions. And this is now me phrasing it. He was saying basically they were operating without any real purpose. Just empty, hollow, thoughtless offensive possessions where
lost.
They weren't focused.
Yep.
They were lifeless. They weren't putting anything into them.
And the Rockets were passing up open shots for better open shots.
Oh,
and the Celtics couldn't get any
that
open
was
shots.
So unbelievable how on some of these possessions for Houston, they would pass the ball four times after they had a wide open look. And maybe not wide open, but open enough where they'd say, oh, we'll just keep passing until we get something we like even more. And you're looking at the Celtics defending on the perimeter saying, is anyone going to get there? Is anybody going to get out there and try and defend this?
No.
And they didn't. It was like they just didn't care. There was just a lack of effort at times. We have some audio of Wick, by the way, at the conference over the weekend, Dan. So
good.
These are pretty public comments.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I think he knows. There's a huge crowd there, people recording it. I don't think there's any sort of sneak attack, as you indicate.
Well,
with this.
I thought they made everybody turn in their phones when they got there.
Well, here it is. Here's a sound of Wick, Celtics owner, over the weekend talking about this team and where it's going.
We are contending in the East. I mean, we're not contending for the regular season title in the East. We are contending to get out of the East.
Okay.
And I think the players that we, not being defensive, just being factual, I think the players we have on the court have the capability of getting to the finals.
Mm-hmm.
We also have the capability of losing in the first round. And we have a very, very good set of opponents in the East, all of whom seemingly have beaten us in the last month. So that's that. But, you know, since from November to February 1st, we had best record in the league. You know, mm-hmm. February has been the worst February I can remember.
Right.
Thank God it's March. We're undefeated in March. But there's enough here, and the playoffs is different. You know, let's say Indiana comes in, Philadelphia comes in. We're on the road in Philly and Milwaukee, and you know it's going to be a grind. It's be amazing to get through either one of those teams.
Right.
But I give us a chance. I don't think anybody wants to play us in the playoffs. So I really do think, after 16 years in the league, I think these guys still have a chance. So we're going to play it that way.
So I asked Josh Harris this question after our panel yesterday. I probably should have asked it during the panel. I asked him, if the playoffs started today, you would play Philadelphia in the first round. They're 2-9 against you over the last three seasons, and you eliminated them last year in the playoffs. So I asked him, if Philadelphia were to lose in the first round, would that be a disappointment, and he called it very problematic. So I'll ask you the same question. What if your Boston Celtics team, this team that I thought Danny very expertly assembled loses in the first round. What kind of season will it be for your team?
I don't think I need to say that publicly. I want to watch the losses, watch how we played. Losing to a team like Philadelphia would not be a disgrace if it was a hard-fought series.
Okay.
So I'd rather not answer that.
So that's the I'd rather see how that plays out if that were to happen.
Right. No sense talking about something that hasn't happened when it's a bad thing.
But he's open to the possibility. And it's just so honest. I just love it. Yeah. He deserves credit for that. Owners that speak honestly, there's not enough of them. There really aren't. Not enough for those owners in sports. So when you get that, all right.
Yeah, I mean, after John
Henry.
You know, so you got John Henry and then who?
You think John Henry sort of just lets it fly?
I was just messing with you.
Oh, I'm like, what? What are you talking about?
Yeah,
no way.
That's funny, Dan.
Of course.
Rob is in Adams today. Hi, Rob.
How you doing, gentlemen?
You're right.
Oh, how you doing?
Excellent, thanks. Hey, I want to say Wick is right. As an outside observer and a fan, I see the same thing he's seeing. There's a lack of effort for all the players. And it falls on the stars, and they're all stars. And if they really want to be professionals, they'll make it work with Kyrie, like they made it work without Kyrie last year. But like Jalen said, you can see in Kyrie's eyes, he doesn't want to be there. But if he has some balls, he win a championship this year. Up to you guys. Thank you.
Okay. I'm not getting into the uniform part of it, too. Where the hell is your home whites again? Where the hell is a home white uniform?
What's wrong with the uniform?
I can't stand that, the green and black. It all blends.
That's all sports
I understand it's sports. You're the freaking Celtics, though. Other big franchises do it? The Lakers alter their uniform every damn time?
I think they do. The Yankees don't do it. You don't see a lot
Red
of that.
Sox, I mean, Red Sox have done it.
They do the red tops, the blue tops, the white, the home whites, you know, so it's like...
But, you know, it's your parquet. It's afternoon, Sunday afternoon, big game against the Rockets. They did this for somebody else before, too. Well, what about a month ago? Another big game. Just throw out your damn whites. Classics. I don't know. That's just little things that bug you. I don't know. That's like a topper. That's icing on a cake.
I get that. I get that.
Seth in the car. Hi, Seth.
What's up?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hi.
Seth.
Hey.
Hey, Joe.
Hey, Seth.
Okay. So we all agree that if Kyrie leaves, we're pretty screwed, right?
Screwed.
No, not necessarily. Oh. I mean, you're not screwed. It's not like you have a terrible team and you can't pick up the pieces.
Yeah, you're going back to 4 years ago.
It's preferable to have him here and not elsewhere.
Okay. Well, if we want him here, because I think that we need him because we obviously have a higher ceiling with him, and I don't think we're a championship team without him. I think that it's kind of a no-brainer, and we have to give the Pelicans what they want for Anthony Davis. Because, I mean, if we get Anthony Davis, I don't think that Kyrie leaves. I don't think he could leave. How could you leave when you add a top-five player in the league to your team? And depending on how far we make it, I mean, I think Jason Tatum's going to have to go. He could get better, obviously. He will get better. But I just not seen the assertiveness that we saw out of him last year. And I don't think that has to do everything with Kyrie. But
well, I think it's part of it. I think he does defer at times because I think, you know, he looks at Kyrie as a superior.
Right.
Yeah, I know he's playing in the NBA.
Kind of talks down to those guys. I could see how that could affect him. But, I mean, if Kyrie's not willing, if he thinks he's above everybody,
yep.
For him to succeed, I think we need to go get somebody that he respects that is in his head on his level. Yeah. And so
a lot of accommodation. Seth is right here because you listen to Kyrie when he gives you something impressors. It's always some under the table sort of shot.
And he doesn't respect anybody who's already here.
It's almost
sort of, get another guy.
He always gives you. It always comes back to they need. You know, he always goes the me they route.
Who does Kyrie view as a peer on this team?
Well, no one's
maybe
see
Al.
Him.
Nobody.
Maybe Al, out of respect for him.
I
being
don't
in
know
the
about
league.
That.
But you know, Seth says he won't leave if he plays with a top five player.
At the start of the year, let's go get a 15-year vet and bring him in here to bring in an older presence.
Don't forget
with Al Horford.
He left playing with the greatest player in the world.
Yep.
He left Cleveland. Kyrie left Cleveland playing with the greatest player in the world. So don't think he'll leave with a top five player. You have to convince him to stay. But I think Davis is part of that.
It's gonna be somebody he likes.
Kyrie, you're not gonna convince Kyrie to stay with this the way it's currently constituted. Absolutely not.
Let's go with Darnell and Quincy. Hi, Darnell.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey.
There was a clip before the ABC telecast yesterday where Kyrie was walking through the tunnel And he was like, all these damn cameras, I can't wait till I'm done playing. And with that, I'm like, so does this guy think if he goes to New York or L.A.?
Your phone's breaking up. Yeah, we can play that clip again. This happened yesterday as he was walking into the building.
I won't miss this bleep when I'm done playing.
He's, yes, you'll just hear it for yourself.
I'm not going to miss any of this.
I'm not going to miss any of this bleep when I'm done playing.
Yeah.
Again, the only cameras he likes are movie cameras, not TV cameras. He doesn't like that. He doesn't like getting treated like a superstar. He wants you to come, you know, and ask him his takes on the world. He wants to talk about, you know, politics or, you know, right? Those are the
flat earth.
Big world flat issues. Earth. Yeah. Wants to talk about real world issues.
Alternative science. Right.
Movie
wants,
making.
Shoes.
If you want to go ask him about, you know, fashion trends or science or politics, he'll wax poetic about that in front of your camera. But you put that camera on him walking into the building where every player knows that's part of the gig. Apparently that's too much for him. He doesn't want to deal with that. Doesn't want to deal with that problem. Doesn't want to deal with that camera being there.
Wasn't a good day for him yesterday.
Between that and the post game,
the stuff that was said on national TV.
Just doesn't feel good. Yeah, no, Paul Pierce and Jalen Rose talking about him on TV.
Yeah, not good.
Not good. Not a great day all around.
Everybody, it's the moment you've been waiting for.
Hot takes.
Well, you can clearly see there's a gap where the tip digs in and then boom, it pops up.
Oh, yeah. Joe and Beto.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right.
617-779-0985. Yes, Dan Johnson.
I have an update from someone at Sloan. All panel discussions will be available at Sloan Sports Conf as podcasts soon.
Nice.
We didn't have to turn in our phones or sign a confidentiality agreement. Dorkapalooza is the nickname originally given by Bill Simmons 13 years ago.
And he's now a part of it, I believe. Right.
Yeah, he did an hour sit down with Adam Silver.
Sounds like a party.
These are all on YouTube. All these videos are on YouTube.
Oh, good.
Right.
There you go.
Like well-produced videos on
YouTube. Well-produced, put up on the internet, Dan.
Let's check that out tonight.
I would rather do 5 hours of live sports radio with nothing to talk about. Sorry.
Adam Jones does that every night.
You got 22 and a half more minutes, Dan, okay?
Yeah. Jesus, right. Dan.
Unbelievable. Raffy's in Vermont. Raffy.
Hey, guys.
Raffy, where you been, my man?
Where been, dude?
I've been around. I've been.
You driving up?
Guys.
You driving up Airedale, up north?
No, I live in Vermont now.
Oh, listen, I see, hon.
I'm gonna say something about that issue. I do believe if somebody has to move, they have to move Kyrie Irving, because the reason I'm saying that is, let's go back to 1984. 1984, even though Larry Bird came in the Celtics with all that fanfare, everybody, that rookie, Cedric Conway Maxwell, he knew he was better than Bird. And when the time came in the playoff, he took over and delivered the championship. But the following year, no discussion. Everybody in the team except Larry Bird was the superstar. I am telling you, there is nobody in the Celtics team who except Kyrie Irving is that superstar. Every one of those other kids, they feel they are better than him. And when that happened, what we have right now is a commander when everybody in the platoon think they can do better without that man.
Okay, well, Raffy, here's a question I really do have about Kyrie Irving.
Yes.
If he can't play with guys that are better than him, LeBron, and he can't play with guys that are worse than him,
everybody.
2018-19 Boston Celtics, who the hell can he play with and be happy?
Anthony Davis.
All-Star games.
Who
Kevin,
is it?
Kevin
He's
Durant.
An All-Star game guy.
Yeah, we saw that. Yeah.
Yeah, he looked forward to going down there to play with all the good guys. Kevin Durant.
And I feel like that's a legitimate question. Hey, okay, who is it that you do want to play with?
Maybe there's something worth out there watching in Golden State where Durant's getting bored because he just won two, but it's not his team. It's Steph's team, and he got his rings. I'm going to go to New York, make it my team. Can he and Kyrie come together in New York? That's something worth watching. Because if it ain't Davis here, it's going to be him down there. If you don't get Anthony Davis, this guy's going to go to the Knicks, and he's going to play with Durant.
Well, I think, yeah, I think you're right. The other draw is forget Anthony Davis.
Yeah, that's he, I almost worry yeah, about the
he'll
other
have
one.
A call, he'll have a call of, do I stay here and play with Anthony Davis or go to New York and play with Durant?
That's the way he looks at it. See, we're all sitting here saying, well, you got to do this, Danny, to sit there and beg Kyrie to stay. Or Kyrie holds all the cards. He's going to decide whether he wants to play with Anthony Davis or Kevin Durant. It's Kyrie's world. We're all living in it. People have a tough time realizing that. Welcome to the NBA.
Ivan in Woburn. Hi, Ivan.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
You guys just made the point I had, but what I would add to it is that in this NBA, it's very hard to win with a ball dominant guard that's undersized. We already saw that with IT. You saw that with Chris Paul in the Clippers. You know, and it's a mental thing. Like, he has to play with a player that will let him be the best guy, but in actuality, that player would be the best guy, a.k.a. LeBron. So at this point, I'll just bring in AD, play for 1 year, and trade his ass. So if he can, I'm sorry, really sorry.
You can't trade him once he's played here for a year. What is he talking about?
Yeah, I'm disputing this notion that he's an undersized guard. A 6'3 point guard is not, that's okay. I mean, Curry's that, if that. This is not Isaiah Thomas, former or current. Those are short people. This guy is not tall enough to be a point guard.
Let's go to Steve, who's in the car. What's up, Steve?
Hey. Can you hear me?
Hey. Yes.
Yep.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey. Real quick, I was just curious to hear your thoughts on, obviously, Kyrie's not a leader. He's just a me guy. He's not a we guy. Obviously, he's a phenomenal talent. The Celtics have all the parts of what could be an awesome team. So I just was wondering, if they could hire some retired special forces guy to come in and basically give them consulting on real leadership,
yes,
battlefield leadership, where it actually matters.
Well, there's a character coach that's out of business right now. That's looking for a job. Easterby just left the Patriots last week. Maybe he can skip on over to Causeway Street.
Yeah, you definitely need a Green Beret, Navy SEAL type of person to teach these guys how to play basketball. Absolutely. That's what this team
is. What about Easterby? Get him right in there.
No. You don't need Rambo. Just need these guys to play a little bit better together. That's what Brad Stevens said. Someone asked him about, going out on this road trip. Is that a chance to bond a little bit? He's like, yeah, you spend a little more time together, but it's mostly about how you play.
I mean, forget your bonding. It's March.
It's mostly about how you play together, and we all got to play better, and we all got to play better together.
But he's been saying that all year. Yeah.
But he's not making any excuses.
And at no point have we seen a change.
Maybe these guys should have gone to Italy like the 08 guys.
Ubuntu.
Yeah, I feel like Brad Stevens doesn't give any credit to that stuff. It's just strictly, here are the five guys on the floor. They should play well together, even if they don't like each other.
I think it's a hole in this game. I do. I don't think that the team fully understood, and we didn't either, the need to sort of cultivate the group as a group and bring the group together. And managing the egos and personalities of the group, because they have not done a good job of it. They just haven't. The results are making that pretty evident.
Feels like that playoff run last year divided the group. They were a group last year, and it feels like the playoff run divided.
Because the young guys on the team clearly feel like they've accomplished something now.
Right. Remember, the East goes through Boston. They're going to win multiple titles, according to Jaylen Brown.
Well, and that residual part of that was Brown. It was a good experience, the playoffs, but the residual effect was the young guys think, we don't need these guys. We got there without them.
Right.
And then the opposite is, well, what do these guys know? They've never.
So now Steve Kerr all of a sudden is a better coach and a better dealer of egos.
Who's right? Kyrie Irving would be right. The hell do these kids know? Yeah. They don't know anything.
They don't get it. I've been telling you people this from day one.
Anything.
Why do you think I'm so pissed about the questions? Because it's the same ones. I've been giving you the answers without actually killing my teammates. Little slide, little jabs here and there at them. You can't deal with it. And you're going to keep asking me, what's the problem? What's the problem? Why can't you be a leader? Because I told you. They don't get it. When I say they, that is them from last year.
Bob's in Newton. Hi, Bob.
Hi. I just wanted to say I'm getting a little tired with all the discussion of the Kyrie kind of soap opera. Yeah, I agree that he's not James Harden, and he's certainly not LeBron James. He can't carry the team alone or impose his will on the guys. But they got a lot of other problems. For one thing, the Team D in that game yesterday was pathetic. Mm-hmm. There were guys driving by Gordon Hayward and the other guys in for easy layups, and that's been true of a lot of games. And another thing is there's no real tough rebounding of the sort that the great Celtics teams had, guys that really wanted the ball like Silas and Chaney and Cowens and and even the 2008 team. They're soft. I mean, teams are bullying them all over the place, and that's, you know, they can't blame it all on Kyrie.
I don't disagree with anything you said. Yep. All good, fair points. Paul in Burlington. Hi, Paul.
Hey, guys. I wanted to throw in a comment around Kyrie. So he leaves Cleveland under the pretense that he wants to, you know, escape LeBron's shadow. He doesn't want to be, you know, second fiddle. Okay, so the Celtics give him an opportunity to be that leader, right? Now, I don't know what, you know, in his mind, what leader means or how he defines or what qualifies a leader, but you have to take the good with the bad. And he comes to Boston and, you know, just from a leadership perspective, he's not providing that. So whether we can win with him or without him, whatever the debate is going back and forth, which is a real debate, from a leadership perspective, he doesn't have it. He's not KG. He's not Larry. And, you know, I don't know. Maybe.
Agreed. Paul, agreed. No one's going to disagree with you on any of those points.
Nope.
Yeah, the leadership is lacking, and he's not any of those other guys you named, and he's certainly not KG. That is not who he is. Not able to bring the group together. And that may not, you know, be worthy of criticism. It's just an observation. They don't have that guy. This team doesn't have that guy. There's no one that everyone is able to look up to. There is no one who's able to pull everybody in the same direction. That guy doesn't exist.
What do you think would have happened if he had been healthy for the playoffs last year?
I don't know, Dan.
Begin to wonder.
I mean, they played well with him last year. This year, yes. It's been a little different. So I don't know. I don't know that it would have been any different last year.
Without Zolak and Bertrand, your workday is just pushing papers and eating lunch.
What's up?
With Zolak and Bertrand, it's pushing papers, eating lunch, and talking sports.
Yeah, whatever.
Way better. Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Damn it, I'm a Dapper Dan man.
And now it's time for Dapper Dan's Dates of Distinction.
For Dapper Dan.
Time now for Dan's dates on March 4th. It's 2019, of course. And Dan, what do you got on this day?
March 4th.
Oh, look at all the notes. Well, look at all the notes in the margin here, Zoe.
A lot of notes.
We got a big one coming today.
I just come prepared. And as a reference, March is not one of our, you know, stronger months.
Crush your soul.
In general. Yeah, it's like...
This month
month of July, too?
Well, different reasons. But this really is the worst month because you think it's over and then it's not over. And it's never over. Everything gets ugly in the dirt, snow, and all. Anyway, March 4th, stuff that happened on this day. Energy Secretary Rick Perry was born this day. He is 69 years old. Anyone ever heard of the Lemonheads?
Yeah.
Okay, do we know Evan Dando?
No.
No. All right, he's 52.
I'm guessing he's in the Lemonheads.
He is a singer for the Lemonheads. He's 52 today. The great Ed Clevin was born on this date, 75 years ago, I believe. Stuff that happened on this date. Evidently, this used to be a big inauguration day, which I'm confused because January 20th is inauguration day in my lifetime. Certainly going back to JFK and I Like Ike and all that stuff. It's always January 20th. But back in the day, it was it moved around. March 4th was big. 1793, George Washington sworn in for the second term as president during a ceremony in Philadelphia. In 1865, Abe Lincoln inaugurated for his second term of office with the end of the Civil War in sight. Lincoln declared, with malice toward none and charity for all. Famous words there. FDR, first of his four terms, was inaugurated on March 4th in 1932, replacing Herbert Hoover, who, of course, got us in the Great Depression. That's the folklore, at least. Vermont became the 14th state on this date in 1791. All you Vermonters out there. The first issue of People magazine. What year do you think that was? You guys are...
1958.
45. 1974.
Oh.
Yeah, it was in my wheelhouse.
Okay.
I subscribed to it. Work began on the Sumner Tunnel on this date in 1931.
Is that right?
Which was huge to connect East Boston to downtown Boston.
What year was that?
1931, the work began. It opened in June of 1934.
I'll tell you what, you go through there, it feels like it was built in 1931.
I don't know if I'm going to take the Sumner anymore.
Everybody was bitching about what they called the Big Dig back then, you know, and who knew there would be another one decades later. On this date in 1994, in New York, four extremists were convicted of the 1993 World Trade Center bombing that killed six people. John Candy died on this day.
25 years. Can you believe it?
He was 43 years old. He was in Mexico. I don't remember that he was in Mexico.
He's probably filming that beach movie house, too.
Ooh,
Summer Rental 2.
Hall & Oates recorded It's a Rich Girl on this date in 1976.
That's a hit right there.
Yeah,
because you're like going too far.
That's a hit.
You might not get there anyway. But you could survive on your old man's
money. I'm just distracted by the Sumner Tunnel still. Do you imagine when that was two-way traffic in there? How dangerous that was?
Yeah. Not good.
Oh, my God.
Sorry. On this date in 1970, Janis Joplin was fined $200 for swearing on stage in Tampa. So, who did Janis Joplin go to high school with? Very famous football figure. Jimmy Johnson.
What?
Really?
Yeah, look
Jimmy's not that old.
Janis
Joplin would not have been that old.
School.
I thought she's dead.
She died in 1970.
She was young.
27 club.
She had some miles on her.
27 club. One of those.
Me and Bobby McGee.
Martha Stewart went to prison, or her version of it, in 2005 on this date. She was home. It was house arrest. It was 5 months.
Oh, she didn't have to go, into a facility
she went
at all?
No, she did, Dan.
I remember she did.
Yeah, she did.
Well, look
But she
it
got
up.
To cook for everybody. It was nice.
Orange is the New Black. That was, that was 2000.
Taught them how to wrap presents.
2005.
Here's how you tie a bow. Six-inch strings. Six-inch curls.
It says right here, Martha Stewart reported to prison on October 8th, 2004, to begin serving a five-month sentence. Federal Bureau of Prisons confirmed that day.
Okay.
So she did spend time in jail.
This must have been the house arrest portion of that. I apologize.
Yeah, and I've got a story that says more than a dozen years, this was 2017, more than a dozen years after serving a prison sentence for lying to investigators, Martha Stewart has opened up about the horrifying experience, saying nothing good came of it.
I believe that. On this date in 1948, Stan Musial ended his holdout and settled for $31,000. He settled for $31,000, which is what he had been paid in 1947. So good thing he held out all that time.
I have a dollar bill signed by Stan.
Stan was the man, indeed. On this date, Beetle pointed out, 1994, I was there. Michael Jordan played a spring training game for the Chicago White Sox.
First time you ever suited up in a White Sox uniform. How did
he look?
How did he look, Dan?
He looked awkward.
He had a long swing.
He really did.
He was too tall. He had a long swing. Played the outfield.
Like Bambi with a bat.
I think he stole a base in that game, and he was very tall for the sport.
His manager in Birmingham that year was a young Terry Francona.
Tito. Yeah, Tito's got great stories about the bus, the whole thing. Jordan got him a bus, which they loved in the minor leagues.
Yeah.
Did Terry tell you, off the record, why he was really there? Why Jordan was there?
We did not go into that.
Why do you think he was really there, Dan?
It was you serving a gambling suspension. Yeah. I asked David.
It seems like in the course of your book that you wrote with Terry Francona, that may have come up.
Yeah. I asked David Stern that question. He said, I don't answer hypotheticals, foolish questions. I said, just answer this one. Just get you on the record.
All right.
I think, Hardy, there's one other baseball item.
Couple of baseball items.
Oh, nice.
Big one here from this date, 4 March. Year of our Lord, 1912.
Year of our Lord.
With the shanties torn down and the garbage pits filled in the Pigtown section in Brooklyn, Charles Ebbets breaks ground for his team's new Bedford Avenue ballpark. The Dodgers' Flatbush facility, which will serve as the team's beloved home for 44 years, that is two score and four more years, will be named for its owner after a reporter at the ceremony suggested the idea to Charlie. That's a capital idea. I will name it after myself. Huzzah! Also, Babe Ruth, highest paid player in Major League Baseball, on this date, 1927, signed a 3-year, $70,000 per year contract with the Yankees. He was making $70,000 a year in 1927.
Stan Musial's still at $31,000. Has to hold out in 1948. God, goodness. Anyway, that's March 4th. That's all I got.
There's one more. There's actually two more. 1955, first radio facsimile transmission sent across the continent. The first fax was sent across the continent in 1955.
You can't send across the continent.
And if we had to take a vote, our favorite Mike Francesa moments.
I'm going to go snowblower. His house is Jersey.
Snowblower's number one. Snowblower's top five.
Pope.
The Pope,
where nobody smoke. You can't hear him.
Albuquerque is one of my favorites.
Yeah. Counting up the bowl games.
The bowl games.
Counting the bowl games.
But the papal conclave in 2013.
Yeah.
Occurred on this date.
No kidding.
Let's hear it.
White smoke from Rome, really? Do we know who it is? We have a Pope, huh?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, so we have a Pope. There we go. There it is. White smoke coming from the Sistine Chapel. We have a Pope.
This goes on for 6 minutes.
6 minutes.
But the best is like he's having an open discussion. You can't hear the producer talk because he won't let him on air.
What do you mean? Is there a pope? I don't know if we have a pope.
Now, you can't hear it because he's talking to me in my ear, but supposedly we have no pope. Let me ask another question to him, even though you can't hear him talk back. And it goes back and forth. It's 6 minutes of the best radio.
But so do we know yet how long they don't say it until we get an answer?
Imagine driving in a car.
Fourth vote. Okay, fourth vote overall. Fourth vote.
Was it a first ballot Hall of Fame?
Yeah, no, he's a fourth ballot.
There's no way that fourth pope's fourth, ever getting in on the first vote of the incense.
By the way, $70,000 a year that Babe Ruth got back in 1927. Today's dollars, just over $1 million.
Yeah, just over
$1 million a year.
Take that, Bryce Harper.
All right, Dan, appreciate the time.
See you, Dan.
Yeah, I'll call you from Florida next week.
All right, we'll talk to you from Fort Myers. Find out what happened to Brazier's pinky toe there, if you don't mind. Toe watch, yes.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.